I'm someone who often fails, who sometimes gets the words wrong in what I'm trying to communicate. And I don't always take the opportunities that are in front of me, kind of in fear of what people might say. But what I am is someone who loves Jesus, believes and has seen the power that he has to change lives and how he can offer true living hope to a world that is so desperately in need of it. And so it's out of that place that when I fail, I push myself to go again. When I don't seize an opportunity, I keep going for where God is and looking for where God is moving. When someone doesn't respond to the gospel or to an offer of prayer, I don't leave disheartened, but lean on what Jesus says about me rather than how the world might view me. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Just because your story might be messy, you might struggle to find the right words or have failed in the past to share your faith, that does not disqualify you from telling others about Jesus. The only qualification you need to tell others about the good news of Jesus is that you have met and have a relationship with God. You've turned away from the sin and mess. And while you might still make some mistakes, you are striving to know God more. That's the only qualification you need. You don't need to be an amazing communicator. You don't need to know loads of gospel sharing techniques, although they can be helpful. You don't even need to do a training course like Message School of Evangelism. All you need is a heart for the lost and a willingness to step out of your comfort zone to see the lost saved and brought home to their heavenly Father. Jesus, as we know, when he's asked the greatest commandment, he says this in Matthew 22, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And actually, our evangelism should come out of that place, that as we love God with everything that we have, as we grow to know him more, the natural outflow of that is to love others and to show others the amazing love that God from God that we've experienced for ourselves in the hope that they might experience it too. The greatest way that we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves is to tell them the good news of Jesus. The good news that there is a God who loves them, that despite the sin and their mess, died for them, taking the punishment for the things they've done wrong, and 3 days later, rising from the dead, showing that they can find new life and true hope in him. And the first thing I want to talk about this morning, something that I think can get in the way of us sharing our faith with others, is that I think if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we've lost confidence in the gospel. Like for whatever reason, maybe we've been a Christian for a long time and that first experience when we had Jesus change our lives feels like a distant memory. Maybe we've got caught up in trying to figure out the exact right way to share the gospel and feel like we almost need to convince people to become a Christian. That it's in crafting the perfect gospel presentation, the perfect answer to difficult questions that is the barrier for us to be effective in sharing our faith. And when we do that, we forget something so simple, that the gospel works. That the gospel actually works. It's powerful. Like we're not trying to force people into the kingdom of God. We don't have to use wise and persuasive words in order to convince someone to follow Jesus. We're not like twisting people's arms into the kingdom, but we have the Holy Spirit working on our behalf with us and through us. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5 says this, and this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and it says this, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I don't know about you, but I find that so reassuring. I don't have to have all the answers. I'm not trying to use my own human wisdom in order to persuade someone to follow Jesus. But what I have is a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit's power that works through us. And it's through the Spirit that people truly encounter the living God. All we need to do is be willing to be used by him. And as we step out, be reliant on the Spirit rather than our own wisdom or clever words. We have that reminder too in Isaiah 55, where it says in verse 11, it says this: "It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Sometimes we may go out and we might offer to pray for someone, or we might have shared a bit of our testimony or even shared the gospel with them. And sometimes we might get rejected. Sometimes it might seem that even when we share, the reaction isn't what we hoped it would be, or it hasn't seemed to have gone anywhere. But we have that reminder that as we share God's word with others, it will always produce some type of fruit. We might not see this result in this lifetime, but we can be encouraged that just being faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus, that it never returns void or without use or purpose, that God works through it. If I mentioned the name Edward Kimball to you, you most likely would have no idea who that is. And I wouldn't really blame you. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher based in Boston in America in 1858. And there was nothing particular spectacular about his life or his ministry, but he made it his habit to personally give any student in his Sunday school an opportunity to accept Jesus into their lives. And Edward one day gives that opportunity to a boy in his class called Dwight L. Moody. And you might have heard of Moody before. And Moody accepts Jesus and goes on to become a really well-known evangelist. Moody then starts sharing the gospel internationally, when another pastor, a guy called Frederick Mayer, he becomes so inspired by Moody and what he's saying that he decides that he wants to share his faith more too. And so this guy, Frederick Mayer, himself then starts preaching around the world. And he inspires a guy called J. Wilbur Chapman to become an evangelist just like him. Wilbur then starts doing the same. He starts organizing like evangelistic crusades to spread the gospel. And as he's doing this, he mentors and he raises up someone called Billy Sunday. And then Billy starts doing the same. He starts preaching and bringing thousands to Jesus. So much so that it inspires a group of people elsewhere in America to reach their city for Jesus, just as they'd seen Billy doing. They were like, we want to do the same thing he's doing. So they decide to organize and hold a bunch of evangelistic meetings in their city. And during one of those meetings, a 16-year-old boy comes along and he hears the message of Jesus. And he's so caught up by the gospel that he gives his life to Christ. And his name was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham came to be one of the most effective evangelists in modern times and shared the gospel to more people than any other person in history. He became the pastor to several US presidents, and it is estimated that during his lifetime, he preached to, like face to face, more than 210 million people in over 185 countries. But what I love about this story is you can all trace it back to a faithful Sunday school teacher called Edward Kimball, who in 1858 gave one person the opportunity to accept Jesus. And from there, it grew like wildfire. Never doubt or belittle those conversations and just the act of stepping out to tell one person about your hope in Jesus. You have no idea the ripple effects that obedience to step out could have. Like I said earlier, one of the things we do with our students in their final term of the course is we send them out on mission. And one of our teams during this term went to the centre of Birmingham for a mission week. And while they were there, the team felt God encouraged them to go into the library and to chat to a woman who worked there. And as the team introduced themselves and got chatting to her, one of our students felt that they should just tell the lady that God wanted to give her peace. And as they continued talking, the woman said that she just found out that she was pregnant again and that she was really nervous because she had had some complications with a previous pregnancy and was scared the same thing would happen. And so our students, Esther and Moises, prayed for her. And after they finished, the lady said that she wanted to give her life to Jesus. So there in the library, they all prayed again and she responded to the gospel. But I love that. And I love God moving in the simple, everyday situations. They just felt like saying to this lady that God wants to give her peace. And it just went from there. And sometimes I think we get so busy in our day-to-day. And we get so busy in our day-to-day lives and what we're doing that we just fail to see where God is moving right in front of us. But I want to remind you of this morning that the gospel does work, and I believe there are opportunities every single day to share it if we just ask for God to give us the eyes to see it. And the second thing I want to share with you this morning, and something that's helped me when thinking about evangelism and how to do it, is the fact that the gospel is alive in me. And that is what evangelism is. It's bringing people in on our own walk of faith with Jesus. That's it. We're not sharing out to others out of a theoretical place, laying out all the facts to people about who God is, hoping that they just kind of grasp onto it. No, we're sharing out of personal experience that the creator of the universe, the one who put the stars in the sky and created each and every one of us, has changed my life. And guess what? He can change your life too. It's saying like, just look, like, follow me as I follow Christ. Our personal experience of Jesus, our own testimony and walk with Jesus is powerful because it's living evidence and proof that the God in the Bible is not something resigned to history books. It's not just like a nice little fairy tale, but it's active and it's living in me today. It's bringing others into our journey too and showing them the incredible love of God that we've experienced, that they can experience it themselves too. We see it in Mark 5 with the man who has many demons in him. You might remember the story, and Jesus sends these demons out of him into a herd of pigs. And the man wants to go and follow Jesus right there and then. But this is what Jesus says to him. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which means like 10 cities, just how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And why were they amazed? Because they saw how God utterly transformed one life and turned it for good. We have a job to take the good news of what God has done in our own life and spread it to our community, spread it to our neighborhood, to our friends, to our family. Your testimony is powerful. No matter your background, upbringing, or story, it's powerful because it shows the goodness and power of our God and what he can do when we give our life to him. I'm reminded here of a story of a guy called George Muller. And George Muller is one of my heroes of faith. I don't know if you have heard of him before, but he's a guy who started a whole load of orphanages in Bristol during the 1800s at a time where there were estimated to be over 250,000 homeless children in England. But there's one particular story I love from towards the end of George Muller's life. And at the age of 71, he decides to travel the world to tell others about Jesus. And over the next 17 years, he travels over 200,000 miles, visiting more than 30 countries. And there's this one story of one time that George Muller was trying to get to Quebec in Canada, but the ship that he was on was surrounded in fog. And the captain of the ship tells this story. "We had a man of God on board, George Muller of Bristol. I had been on that bridge for 22 hours and never left it. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was George Muller. 'Captain,' he said, 'I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon.' This was Wednesday. 'It was impossible,' I said. 'George Muller replied, 'Very well, if your ship can't take me, God will find some other means of locomotion to take me. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. I said to him, I would willingly help you, but how can I? I am helpless. George Muller said, "Let us go down to the chart room and pray." And I looked at this man and I thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could this man have come from? I have never heard such a thing. And Mr. Muller, I said, do you know how dense this fog is? No, he replied. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He went down on his knees and he prayed one of the most simple prayers. I thought to myself, that would suit a children's class where the children were not more than 8 or 9 years of age. And the burden of his prayer was something like this. O Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. You know the engagement you have made for me in Quebec for Saturday. I believe it is your will. And when he had finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and he told me not to pray. First, he said, you do not believe God will do it. And second, I believe he has done it. And there is no need whatever for you to pray about it. And I looked at him and George Muller said this, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years and there has never been a single day that I have failed to gain an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door and you will find the fog is gone. I got up and the fog was gone. And on Saturday afternoon, George Muller was in Quebec. And I love this story, because not only does George Muller expect a miracle, but he brings in others on his experience too. He brings the captain on his own walk of faith and his own journey with God. I'm sure George could have prayed that prayer by himself and the exact same thing would have happened, but he brings in the captain to experience God for himself. And later after this, a captain gave their life to Jesus, crediting this experience to the thing that led him to put his trust in him. And I want to challenge you, what would it look like for you to consciously bring your friends, family, work colleagues, or young people from your area into your own walk of faith with Jesus in the hope that they might experience it for themselves too? The gospel works. It is alive in us. Let's go out and share the good news of Jesus into this world around us. I believe that there are opportunities every day to share our faith. Sometimes it's just asking the Spirit to stir us, to give us eyes to see what he's doing. And then it's taking a step and doing something about it. Whether it's just offering to pray for someone, whether it's sharing your testimony with a friend or even feeling the prompt to share the love of Jesus with them. There are opportunities every single day. But let's ask afresh for God to give us eyes to see them. A few months ago, I had a plasterer in my house and I felt this challenge. I was like, you know what? I feel like God wants me to pray for this person. And he was in my house. And just before he left, I said to him, do you mind if I pray for you? I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And he was a little bit taken aback. And he was like, okay, then you can pray. And I don't think he expected me to pray there and then. And as soon as I started praying for him, I've never seen panic like it. And he got out of that house faster than I've ever seen anyone get out of a house before. And he was walking backwards and he was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he left. And in that moment, I was like, God, what was that all about? But it's remembering, that doesn't return void. I believe there's some fruit from that. Even if it's made him for the first time think, maybe there's a God out there. Maybe there's a God who loves me and cares about me. There was another time I was in Aldi, and again, I was on the checkouts, and there was, again, I felt this prompt to tell this girl on the checkout that Jesus loved her. And problem with Aldi is it's so quick. And so they were just like loading all the shopping on, and it was like express checkout. They just want to get you out there as quick as possible. And again, at the very end, I paid for my shopping, and I just went like, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't very bold, and I shrunk back a little bit, and I was just like, by the way, I think Jesus loves you. But her face like changed, and she was like, oh, thank you for that. And so I left, and I still see her at Aldi, and sometimes I feel a bit awkward, but actually a relationship has started there, and we have conversations, and she asks me about my baby and my wife and things like that, and it starts. It's all taken about that first initial step and not belittling what God can do in those little conversations. I'll finish with this, a challenging but powerful reminder about the importance of sharing our faith in the world. Romans 10, 14 to 15 says this. How then can they call on the one who they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We have good news. Let's not shrink back. Let's be bold. Let's give it a go and just see what Jesus does with it. And I feel like actually there may be some people here that have never given their life to Jesus, that you're hearing all of this stuff, but you yourself have never taken that moment to go, you know what, God, I want to live for you. And it's just knowing this, and I want you to know this, that God loves you, that he cares about you, that he loves you with an unconditional love, which means you can never earn God's love. There's nothing you could do to make him love you more, but at the same time, you can't unearn it either. There is nothing you could do to make him love you any less. But the thing is, we've all messed up. We've all made the mistakes. And the Bible calls those mistakes sin. It's when we've chosen to kind of put our two fingers up at God and say, you know what, God, I'm tired of living for you. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do my own thing. That's what sin is. It's just going the opposite way to God. And the problem with sin is it separates us from God, because God being perfect cannot be near sin, which is imperfect. But God didn't want to leave things like that. And he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus down to earth. And Jesus, he lives this amazing, perfect life, something that we can never do. He tells some amazing stories. He performs some amazing, incredible miracles. But the most amazing thing he does is he dies on a cross and he takes the punishment for the things that we've done wrong, so we could be reconnected with God, reconnected to the very source of life. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving not only that he was God, but if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we can live life to the full, life to the very maximum. But like it says on this here, what are you going to do about it? You have a choice to make. There's a difference from believing in God and putting your trust and faith in him. And hey, there might not be anyone, but I just wanted to give an opportunity now to see if there's anyone here today who's like, yeah, you know what? I know I need to give my life to Jesus. And if that's you, all I'd like you to do is just put a hand up where you are, just as a like declaration of, yeah, God, I'm all in for you. I want to follow you. I'm tired of going my own way. I want to live for you. And if that's anyone, just to put your hand up where you're at. And I'll give it a couple of moments. Amazing. Great stuff. Thank you so much. Yeah. And it'd be amazing if we could all say this prayer together, and especially for those who've responded, just to say it with your heart. It's like, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go in all in for him. So if you could repeat after me, that would be amazing. So if you could say, dear Jesus, that was pretty quiet. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. I'm sorry that I've messed it up. thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me and to rise again. Today, I choose to put my faith in you. Amen. Amazing. That is the most, the best decision you could ever make in this life. And the Bible talks about how every single time one person chooses to follow Jesus, there's a whole party going on in heaven. And so there's a party going on in heaven right now. How amazing is that? And I'd also like to do one more quick response, and maybe I'll invite the worship team to come back up if you're around. And for those who actually, you're sitting there and you know you need to go afresh to go and step out and tell people about Jesus, that you know in your heart that maybe you've shrunk back for whatever reason, but it's time to go again, time to seek those opportunities out, to ask God, what are you saying? What are you doing? How could I share you today? And if that's you, if you know you want to take that step again to share your faith, well, why don't you stand up where you are, and I would love to pray for you for a second. If that's you, if you know you want to just go again to share your faith with other people, to give it another shot, to pray for people, to ask if you can share your story. And if that's you, you want to stand up where you are. Again, there might not be anyone, and that's fine.